Welcome in here to week number two of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN. Nishna Valley Credit Union, Ag Business Associates, bringing you Who's Gonna Win every week. We've got, most of the crew here. Matt Mullinex, Doug Leonard, and myself, Chris Parks. Jim Field decided that he already had better things to do here this season, so he's not with us this week, but we'll deliver his picks. He did get them to us before he took off, so we'll get all those out there here for you and get into our week number two of action after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life? And then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
And let's take a look now here at our picks from week number one. And we've got a three-way tie at the top. Three of us went 6-2, Matt, myself, and Jim. And Doug right behind us at 5-3. He's just one game back here after week one action. Take a look at that list for you last week. It was Cam going on the road to Bedford and picking up a 50-7 win as they played really well. That was a winner for everybody but Matt. He went on a limb on that one and came crashing down. Fremont Mills got surprised on the road at Exira EHK. Up on the hill there, they got knocked off as the Spartans win it 45-27 as they had a great fourth quarter to win that football game, knock off what was the number two ranked team there in eight-man. Also, it was Southeast Warren, a 63-22 win over Griswold. That was a winner for everybody but Doug. He had lost out on that limb. And then it was Matt, the only one that knew that Tri-Center was going to beat Riverside. 28-16 was the final there as a battle of new head coaches, and Tri-Center gets the victory. Also, it was HSTW dominating Underwood 47-14. We all had that one right. IKM Manning, a 35-0 shutout over ACGC. We all had that one correct as well. And it was Harlan, a 49-7 win over Denison-Sleschwig. We all had the Cyclones. And Atlantic went on the road to Sadel and picked up a 45-6 victory to open the season. We all had the Trojans in that one also. So that's a look how it went there in week number one. Now let's get started with week number two. And we'll start in eight-man action. And Jim's pick for our first one is actually our broadcast game here tonight, as we will have Audubon on the road at Fremont Mills. Good matchup in eight-man football. And Jim's going to go with the Wheelers on the road. He's going to take them here to start things off. And, I guess I'll just start it up here myself around the horn. We've got Audubon, who's 1-0, Fremont Mills 0-1. The Wheelers were able to avenge the loss that they had in the playoffs last year in the quarterfinal round to Remsen-St. Mary's, and played pretty well with some new faces out there. Skylar Schultes had a really good game at the quarterback spot, both throwing and running the football. They forced six turnovers in that game, the Wheelers, so great effort there defensively as well. Nice win for them. Fremont Mills, probably one of the big surprises of the week with Exira EHK knocking them off. I certainly thought the Spartans could give them a game, but didn't think they would win, and I didn't think they would win by 20 points by the time it was all said and done. Mason Venata threw a couple of late interceptions in that game that ended up being the difference. They actually led by a couple points heading into the fourth quarter, so Spartans finished very strong at the end of that one. So this is going to be interesting. You know, I think this will be a Fremont Mills team that's motivated to get back out there and try to, you know, turn things around. Audubon looked impressive. It's tough to tell a lot from that game, I think, between those two teams because they're so different. The whole rosters are pretty much different there for Remsen-St. Mary's and Audubon from last season. So Wheelers look tough. They jumped up to number 5 this week in the Radio Iowa poll. Fremont Mills actually fell out from number 2 with the loss early in the season. I guess I don't know anything about any injuries or anything, if that played a part at all in that game there for the Knights. But coming back home and the talent that they have returning, I got to imagine that they're going to bounce back and play tough. I think this is going to be a really good game, but I'm going to give a slight edge to the home team. I'm going to go with Fremont Mills. Matt.
Okay, interesting. Yes. Definitely going to be a tough ball game. How well will Fremont Mills bounce back from that loss? I think they are going to have that bounce back game. I'm going to go with you, Chris, on this as well. It's at home. A lot of new faces on Audubon, and I think Remsen had lost quite a bit. But Fremont Mills, you know, they've got everybody back. I think it was just a little blip on the radar. It actually might have been one of those games right out of the gate for them that was a little bit of a wake-up call, maybe for them and their coaching staff that, hey, yeah, we had a great year last year. That does not mean that we're going to do the same thing. You still have to show up on the field. So I'm going to go with Fremont Mills. I'm going to go with the Knights and see what they can do.
All right. It's a couple for the Knights. Doug?
Yeah, this is a great. I love this game. I mean, it's should be very interesting. You know, you mentioned Skylar Schultes, a heck of a game throwing the ball for Audubon. You know, one little stat that I saw on Quick Stats that was interesting, I think, too, was Audubon had 10 kickoffs and they had 6 touchbacks, which I think is actually really an important thing, you know, in the high school game. It's tough to have those touchbacks. Jackson Jensen was a kicker for the Wheelers, and so it's nice if you can actually get those guys pinned deep like that. Kind of strange for Audubon, too. You know, not the typical names that you're used to seeing out there, but that's the young kids come up and they make their own names. So That's how that works. You mentioned the passing difficulties of Fremont Mills, you know, 4 of 21 with 2 interceptions. So not only did he throw a couple picks, but not very accurate throwing the ball. I don't know if that was a combination of the defense or the field conditions or weather, who knows. But, you know, I know they're explosive. Jager Powers had a punt return touchdown of 75 yards. So they certainly can score, you know, when they need to and explosively. But I'm gonna split it up. We're going to go 2-2. I'm going to take Audubon.
All right. You're going to go with the Wheelers. So Jim and Doug with the Wheelers and myself and Matt with Fremont Mills there in that first one. And, again, that will be our broadcast game here tonight. I'll be joined by Mike Smith for the game. 6:30, our pregame coming up, and 7 o'clock kickoff all of our platforms this evening. Another 8-man game here before we take a break, and we're going to look at Stanton going on the road at Cam. And this another one that could be pretty interesting here in week number 2. Matt, what do you think about it?
Yeah, you've got you picked out some good 8-man games here this week, and I think with this the new scheduling that came about with these non-districts redistricting of teams and various schools dropping 8-man and some actually moving back up to 11-man, you know, some of these schools aren't afraid to have kind of these tough non-district games at the beginning of the season. You know, they realize that that they may help them at the end of the year with the RPI that the state's going to be doing for those that don't win their district. So we're going to see some more of these games, which is great. So with that being said, I think Cam was very was impressed with their win last week over Bedford. I thought Bedford had a decent amount of kids coming back from last year, and like we talked about, Cam losing some of theirs out of their senior class, who was going to step up and fill the roles, and I think we found some of that. Stanton will be tough. They're a seasoned ball club as well. I'm going to give just a small edge to Cam, just because it's at home. I think they gained some confidence last week, so I'm gonna go with the Cougars at home.
All right, that's one and actually 2 for the Cougars. I didn't mention Jim took Cam as well in his pick, so that's a couple for them. Doug?
Yeah, Stanton seemed to put their offense in the hands of Drake Johnson at running back. Had a good game running, 165 yards, 2 TDs. So definitely ground-oriented offense for Stanton. I was very impressed with Cam. Again, who knows about Bedford, but traditionally a good team. You know, it looks like the quarterback, Hensley, had a good game. You know, was filled in well at that position. I also look at just the rushing statistics from that game for Cam. Isaac Bauer averaged almost 10 yards a carry. Mitchell Williamson, almost 13. Which would be impressive in their own. But then you had Lane Speaker, who averaged 18.7 yards per carry, with three carries, but still. So I think they've got quite a few weapons, and that leaves out completely Preston Murphy, who obviously is a very good receiver too. So I'm going to take Cam at home.
All right, that's another one for the Cougars. And, just for extra fodder, the Stanton Vikings did jump up in the poll this week. They moved into number 10 in the Radio Iowa poll. They kind of had a shootout there with Lamoni. They're just eking that one out by 4 points. But, I noted the same thing you did, Doug, there with kind of leaning on Drake Johnson. It seems like he's going to be their guy on both sides of the ball, really. He ran, you mentioned, for 165 yards. He had a couple receptions for long gains as well, and then he had 10 tackles to lead the team too. So certainly a guy that's a big key of what they're doing there with Stanton this season. But I'm with you guys. I think Cam has got a good balance this year. You know, obviously you would have loved to have Thomas Hensley stay on this team this year, and then you really would have been, you know, something to deal with. But I think they're going to get there anyways. You know, Nate Hensley had a serviceable game the first time out, and then you've got tough guys back there, Mitchell Williamson, Bauer. A lot of guys that you can hand the ball off to and do some things. So I think Cam's got a pretty salty squad. I think that district they're in is going to be real interesting here before the season ends. So I'm going to go with the Cougars as well and make it a sweep here in this one. So that's a couple 8-man games to start it off. We got another 8-man game, and then we'll get into 11-man football for you when we come back after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life? And then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Welcome back here on Who's Gonna Win. Let's head into another 8-man pick here before we slide into 11-player football. And we've got the Exira EHK Spartans riding high on down to far southwest Iowa, and they'll take on the Sydney Cowboys. Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, that Spartan game last week against Fremont Mills was one of those games that kept catching my eye. I was checking scores on Twitter, watching the Trojans over at Seidel, and kept looking at that, and you know they got behind pretty good at first, and boy, came back and won nicely against Fremont Mills. Josh Pettipier had a great game for the Spartans, not only throwing the ball for 260 yards, but on the ground as well. Cole Burmeister, Trey Nelson, you know, both did some good things for the Spartans. I was impressed, and I was impressed with their ability to slow down a pretty explosive Fremont Mills team. So, you know, I know Sydney definitely controls the ball on the ground with a ground game, but I'm going to take the Spartans on the road.
All right. It's one for Sparty. Jim's taking Sparty as well. And I think I'm going to make it 3 because I like that win. That was an impressive one to open up the season. I think, you know, Spartans kind of sending a little bit of a message there that, you know, we're going to be a team that's definitely one to be reckoned with here this year in the area in 8-man play. And they, like Cam, I think, you know, have a number of guys that they can get involved with Burmeister, Nelson, and then Pettipier playing well there at the quarterback spot. I know they talked about before the season started even putting Burmeister under center at times, but they didn't do that in game one. But they certainly have, you know, that ability, which I don't want to jinx anything, but there always seems to be an injury somewhere along the line that hurts Exira EHK each year. But they're got some guys, I think, to be able to overcome that stuff this season. Sydney, they won a close one against Lennox in their first one out. You know, not a lot of the real familiar names that you look for from the last few years from them. I think they had a real strong senior class last year that they lost. They have been a tough team here recently, but I'm going to go with the Spartans as well. I think they, even though it's a long road trip, they're going to go down there and get another win against the Corner Conference. Matt.
Yeah, and so here's your third eight-man game. I think it's going to be a tough one. You've got Sydney, who was 10-1, I believe, last year. So, again, they're coming off a big season, returned quite a few of members off of that team. And Lennox has always been a very tough eight-man opponent, playoff contender as well. So that's a big win for them. How well is Xire going to come off of that game? Very emotional game. I think next week, they play Audubon next week. So, you know, they've got quite the preseason, I guess, or non-district schedule here lined up. But I'm going to go with Xire EHK on the road. It is a long trip, I think. I'll go with the Spartans.
All right. We're going to go with Spartans across the board. Yeah, a real interesting schedule for them because only after that, when they start district play, their first game to open up is against CAM. So there's some really good games coming up here the next few weeks in eight-man here in our area. We're going to go on now to a Class 1AA matchup as Trainer will go on the road and take on St. Albert. And I think it's back around the horn here to me. Jim is going to go with the home team. He's going to go with the Falcons up there on the hill. They lost one last week, of course, in a game of rated teams against Kemper Catholic out of Class 2A, 27-12, the final in that one. And they do stay in the rankings despite that, as they stay at number 7 there in Class A here this week. Trainer was maybe one of those surprise teams of the week. They beat Logan Magnolia in impressive fashion, 28-7. Jake Fisher had a pretty good game at the quarterback spot. Efficient through the air, didn't do a lot of that, but he ran the ball well. 123 yards and a couple of scores there. Sounds like some of their strength might be up front, might be a team that can kind of grind it out a little bit. Lots of new faces out there for St. Albert, so it definitely is a team that you're still trying to figure out here a little bit. We were talking about this beforehand, and I think that's what's going to hold me back from making a different decision. I don't see St. Albert losing two games in a row at home, so I'm going to go with the Falcons here. That's a couple for St. Albert. Matt.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to go with the Trainer Cardinals on the road. I think, like you said, I think there's still too many question marks for St. Albert. And I like the way Trainer played against Loma. My understanding is they played them very tough, very physical, and kind of beat them at their own ball game up there, what they're known for. So I'm going to go with Trainer. I think you're starting to see their program on the rise here, kind of revitalizing, I guess, if you will. And I think it's going to continue this weekend.
All right. It's one there for the Cardinals. Doug?
You mentioned the quarterback for Trainer, Jake Fisher. Another name that kind of stood out looking at quick stats was Kyle Christensen. Had 10 solo tackles and 9 assists. So, you know, was all over the field defensively for Trainer against Loma. It's one of those things with St. Albert. I mean, you can't pick against them. I mean, they're so good. But I just think it's one of those seasons where they had, you know, all those kids they graduated last year. We talked about that off the air, Blaha, Waters, Fagan or whatever, you know, they started out so young. They were starting as freshmen and sophomores. So they were there for so long, you know, they got the new kids coming in and they will make names for themselves as well. But, they struggled passing the ball. The Falcons did, 6 for 21, you know, so they had 15 incompletions. It's tough to win, you know, at St. Albert, but I'm going to take Trainer.
All right, so we split that one up. Couple for Trainer, couple for St. Albert in that matchup. Let's move on to a Class 2AA matchup as Shenandoah will go on the road and take on AHSTW. Jim's going to go with the Vikings at home. Matt, what do you think?
I'm going to go with the Vikings as well at home. We saw them play a little bit during the scrimmages. Atlantic went over there and played a scrimmage, and I was impressed. You know, they've got a smaller group than what they've had in the season as far as in the past as far as number wise out, but they have a very aggressive group. They've got some good leadership, and it starts in there with Gabe Pauly and so on, especially on defense. So I think you're going to see they've got a pretty good defense that's going to keep Shenandoah in check. Shenandoah had a good ball game with Clarinda last week, a little bit back and forth. But I think the home team, Vikings.
All right. It's one, it's two for the Vikings. Doug?
HSCW, obviously Gabe Pauly is a big part of what happens out there. But they had looks like a good game from their quarterback, had four touchdown passes. They were all to a receiver named Drake Partridge, so had a good connection there. They're also opportunistic defensively, a couple interceptions and a fumble recovery. Shenandoah is interesting. They had a couple kids who had some explosive plays, both had TD touchdowns, one receiving, one rushing. Over 70 yards. So pretty, you know, showed the ability to break away. I just think Shenandoah, you know, with the change in coaching and some of the, you know, turmoil that caused, you know, I think is going to be a challenging season. You know, we saw that last year with Creston and some of the things that they fought from their preseason and the issues that they had. And I think, you know, when you have a coaching change when it wasn't not that everybody agreed about. It's just it unfortunately that affects the kids, you know, and it's too bad for the kids that are playing. But, you know, I think Shen has the ability to score, but I just think HSTW is too salty. So this one will be a win for the home team.
All right. And I'm going to make it a clean sweep as well. I like HSTW. You know, they're always just such a tough, solid program. You know, Coach Patti has got that machine just kind of running. You know, every year it seems like, we lose two, three guys that are real impact players, but then they have somebody else that steps up and fills that void, or they have somebody else that's a leader out there on the field for them. And it certainly looks like they have that. You mentioned Gabe Pauly. Yeah, good games from Osbar and Partridge there that first game out. Anytime you can only hook up for nine completions and four of them go for scores, you're having a pretty solid, efficient effort. And HSDW is not necessarily a team that wants to throw the ball around a lot, too. They like to run the ball. And I think they'll have some success against Shenandoah. It seemed like, looking at the stats, that Clarinda was able to do that, run the ball pretty well against Shenandoah in that Page County Super Bowl to open up the season. And I think HSDW will do that as well. So I'm going to go with the Vikings also to sweep that one across. We've got another Class 2A team out there taking on a 1A school, and we're going to talk about the other team that played in the Page County Super Bowl, Red Oak on the road at Clarinda. And Jim is going to go with the home team. He's going with Clarinda. Doug.
Yeah, the stats weren't that impressive. Talk about the Tigers, Red Oak, they lost last week to Southwest Valley. But Southwest Valley historically has been a pretty, pretty good ball club. So I was surprised that the game was actually that, you know, that they were able to stay that close to them. Clarinda, I think, do they have a new coach this year? Clarinda?
No, this is second year.
Okay. You know, but they relied on what they've relied on for years now is that ground game. They just pounded the ball on the ground. There's a Shull, I think, for them. It's a good running back, and I can't remember the other kids' names. But, they only attempted four passes, and it was and they had zero completions and one interception. So, you know, that isn't their forte. They'll stick to the ground game, and I think at home they'll pull out the win.
All right, that's a couple there for Clarinda. Yeah, this is a Clarinda team, like you said, wants to keep the ball on the ground. William Scholl had 16 carries, 145 yards, two touchdowns, and Connor Brown also went over 100 yards, 104 with a couple touchdowns last week there for Clarinda in that opening win. You mentioned Red Oak. That was a pretty tough team, I think, that they played in Southwest Valley. Southwest Valley brought back a little bit of their talent from last year. They did lose some as well, but they're not a team that's just, I don't think, a rollover. Red Oak did, you know, had some moments, it looked like, some offensive production that was there at times, but they also made some mistakes. They turned the ball over three times in that game against Southwest Valley, and I think that's obviously something you're not going to be able to do here against Clarinda, because they weren't going to control the clock. You're going to have to take advantage of every opportunity you get. So I'm going to go with Clarinda here as well. I think the home team's got the edge in this one. Matt?
I'm going to go with the home team as well, Clarinda. Definitely keep it on the ground. In the past few years, they've had that single wing. They've kind of switched it up a little bit this year, and they're going a lot of out of the I formation, the power I formation. So you got that fullback-tailback relationship. going on there. So they're definitely going to have some opportunities once they get the ground game going, some opportunities there with some play action pass, getting the ball on the flats, some rollouts and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see if they can do that, throw the ball. Probably won't. Red Oak, a good ball game last week, but I still think they got a few things to get turned up front. I don't think they have the size that is going to match up, which is where they're lacking, but they'll have some the skill players. You know, the quarterback, Carter Bruce, he's been around for a while playing for him, so he does some nice things back there directing things. So, but I just think this week it's going to be Clarinda.
All right, it's Clarinda across the board in that one. We've got two more games to pick, and we're going to take a break before we do that. Back in a moment here on Who's Going to Win.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life? And then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
And welcome back here to Who's Gonna Win. Two more games on the sheet, and we're gonna move on to a Class 3A matchup. And this could be an interesting one. It's Sergeant Bluff Luton going on the road to take on Harlan. Of course, Harlan had a pretty easy win against Denison Schleswig. Sounded like it kind of started slow, but once they picked up and gained steam in that game, they ran away with it pretty easily. And Sergeant Bluff Luton is coming off a week one loss to the top-ranked team in Class 3A in Lewis Central. 42-14 was the final in that one. I guess the thing that I was a little bit surprised by when you look at the stats for Sergeant Bluff, you know, he had a quarterback that went 22 of 29, but it did only go for 134 yards. So obviously I think they're a team that wants to do a lot of that dink and dunk spread type offense, you know, get the ball out there quickly to somebody. Usually when you're that efficient, you got a pretty good chance that the game's going to be a little closer, but that's not how it worked out for him against a really good Lewis Central team. Harlan, you know, played well, and the kids that are out there filling the void of what they lost came through for them in good fashion. Alex Chekinger had a good game on the ground, had some big receptions as well, it looked like, and Preston Mulligan at their quarterback spot threw for 5 touchdowns in that game against Denison. So, you know, this is a Sergeant Bluff Luton team that was ranked in the preseason heading into that Lewis Central game. They fell out here this week after the loss. Harlan stays at number 7 here this week. And I'm going to give a slight edge here to the home team. I just think what we talked about in week one with the defensive effort that Harlan has out there and all those guys that they've got back on that side of the ball, you know, that's something good to have, obviously, against a team that's going to like to spread you out. So you have to play some responsibility football, and I think they've got the guys to do that. So I'll go with Harlan. Jim took Harlan as well. So, Matt, what do you think?
Okay. Well, I think what Lewis Central did to Sergeant Bluff last week, I think, said a lot about where Lewis Central is. I think they've kind of established herself as one of those top 2-3 teams across the state that's gonna, you know, gonna be out there. They might be one of those teams as a potential that they could make a couple of mistakes in a game, but recover from it. Because I think they might be just that good out there with everything going. They're healthy, and so on and so forth. But they were able to keep in check a very strong Sergeant Bluff Luton offense. You know, that's had some great success in the last couple of years. Their quarterback's back. You got Delberdang back out there as running back receiver. So they have some weapons, and the fact that Lewis Central's defense was able to keep that in check. Now, you know, the other thing you got to think about, too, is that, you know, sometimes those first games, you know, Lewis Central had all preseason to kind of get ready for a Sergeant Bluff. you know, you get those. Now you turn into week two. Some of these teams really don't turn their focus until Monday. So you only have about a week to prepare for them. So you've kind of got that little bit of aspect out there that goes on. So Harlan, I think, and Denison, just not quite as tough as what we thought. Harlan had a pretty easy time with them. Threw the ball very well. Mulligan, was he 14 out of 23, something like that? So I think, you know, they threw the ball well. Scheckinger, like you said, ran the ball. This is just really tough. You know, there's a, I think with these see last week's scores, you just, these should be Harlan, but Sergeant Bluff is good. They're still very good. So I'm going to go with them. I'm going to do it.
All right.
Crazy. That's just really crazy. It's preseason crazy. Already.
I knew you were going to pick them
because this might just do me in right
you're
away.
You're a track guy, and you loved all those track. You didn't love them because they were against the Trojans, but I knew they had some Delpert Dang or whatever his name is, yeah. Good runner. Was it
Schwedler,
Jorma, yeah. Jorma, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I knew you were going to pick the track team. But you know, we talked about some of those dinks and dunks. Maybe if they're throwing the ball, little swing passes to the running back out of the backfield. You know, LC has the athletes to cover those things and to, you know, to stay with some of those speedsters. You know, if you can get that taken care of before he gets any opening to break away. You know, and that's luckily, I think, for Harlan, their strength, too, is their defense. I just am curious as to how they're going to score. And, you know, they won't score as easily, certainly, against Sergeant Bluff as they did against Denison. You know, I don't know. I got to take Harlan at home. I almost would join you, Maddie, because I do think it's going to be a close game. I think Sergeant Bluff will probably work their way back into the rankings this year and have quite a bit of success. They just happen to start the season against LC. I mean, yeah. Imagine being the team that faces LC game one and then go to Harlan game two. Yeah. I mean, that's – we talk about Exira's yeah. schedule and what they've got to face. I mean, that's pretty good for Sergeant Bluff, too. Mm-hmm. But I can't bet against Harlan at home.
Yeah, I don't think yeah. their RPI is going to be hurting at all here after these first couple of games. So, works out there. All right, so we're going to leave Matt on a limb there with Sergeant Bluff Luton. Like he said, that could be a very interesting game to watch here this Friday night. And then the last game here we have to pick is the Atlantic Trojans coming back home, fresh off a win on the road against Sadell. And they play a much more familiar opponent here this week as they come back home to take on Creston Orient Maxburg at the Trojan Bowl. Yeah, now a 3A, 2A matchup here as Atlantic changes classes this year. Of course, that doesn't mean anything. Kids are still the same ones back out there on the field this year. Matt, what do you think? Jim, by the way, is going to go with the Trojans. He's going to take Trojans with a home win. What do you think?
Right. Yeah, you've got just a classic Hawkeye 10 matchup here, and the kids know that. They're very familiar. And I think that was one of the things last week. I thought, you know, with Sadell, maybe not the toughest of teams, but at the same time, you know, we're going over there on the road to Sadell, playing against a group of kids that you have no idea. You know, you don't know what they're you are familiar with, maybe some of the athletes in other sports and what they're capable of doing, so you're prepared. But, you know, we had no idea. You know, these kids didn't, we've never competed against a Sadell and stuff like that. So I think that says another aspect of it about our performance last week. You know, the kids just stayed to what they knew and what they did. And went out on the field and stayed within themselves and performed well. So with that being said, you know, pretty much kept the ball on the ground. You know, just tried to do that, you know, at 80 yards, 70 yards, 70 yards, 60 yards as far as our leading rushers. And that was with pretty, you know, 12 carries, 8 carries, 8 carries, 5 carries, you know, in there. So, you know, it was just spread out. Everybody did their job. Says a lot, of course, about our offensive linemen. We've talked about them. Off the air as well, and what they're doing up front seem very confident in what they're doing. So it's nice. And the other thing, too, is our offensive line in the first game, and you know, they're not starting on defense, you know, so they're able to come off and get a little bit of a break there, get some instruction, what's going on, what are you seeing with Coach Brummer. So they'll be there. Creston, I think, you know, they've kind of struggle to run the ball. I think they're going to rely on the pass quite a bit. So we'll see how that goes. They've kind of taken, and this goes back to last year when we beat them. After we beat them, they kind of moved Smallwood out to receiver. They changed things up and have seen a little bit of success with that there. And they've taken that Eli London and Loudon and put him into quarterback. So That seems to be working well for them. So it'll just kind of be how do we match up and take away some of their weapons. They got some decent size up front, but are they mobile enough to make the tackles? We'll see. With all that said, I'm going to go with the Trojans. I think it's going to be a nice win for them, and I think they'll come out ready at home. You know, they got the new uniforms, so they're all excited. So, so come on out and support the guys and get a big win here.
All right. It's a couple there for the Trojans. Doug?
Yeah, you know, Creston, as Matt said, kind of moving some new faces, you know, buying center and moving some people around. You know, the Creston Atlantic rivalry in all sports is always a good one. You know, I mean, I think they enjoy competing against each other, and they compete hard against each other. You know, it's always interesting. I was impressed with Atlantic against you know, not quite as good a competition, of course, as they're going to face later on in the year. But they did what they should do. You know, they allowed Seidel to march down the field in the first defensive series for Atlantic, and Seidel scored. But, you know, it was something that they weren't, you know, I don't think they were necessarily prepared for the offense that they came out in. I think Atlantic changed a few things and figured out what was going on, and then they shut them down really pretty well the rest of the game. I thought they played good defense. I thought it was nice to get some of the younger kids in there. I noticed that there was a lot of substitutions, not just whole units, but even moving, you know, you had eight starters out there, and they'd be three guys coming in that maybe wouldn't be starters but would be playing. You know, I thought the offensive line worked well together, which was nice. And certainly the weapons that they have on offense, I think they can get the ball to the running backs. I think they've got good tight ends and receiver to throw to. Was impressed with Connor Pellett running the ball. Zade Nicholson looked very fast, had a long breakaway. Tyler Moen just glides out there. I mean, he finds a hole and he gets right through it, and he just looks like he's at a different speed than most of the kids out there. Again, I know it depends on the competition a little bit, but I think, you know, it won't be as easy, but I think Atlantic is poised for victory here in this one, and nice to start the season 2-0.
All right, that's another one for the Trojans. Creston, opening week game, 35-34 in overtime. They lose to Sheridan. It seems like it's been like 4 or 5 years in a row they've played an overtime game in week one. It just it keeps working out that way for them. Interesting, too, the way that it ended. They ended up having to put in the backup quarterback for Sheridan, and he's the one that made the play at the end of the game to get the two-point conversion, dove in to win it. And the coach afterwards said, well, one of the reasons that we did it is our kicker got his bell rung during the game, and we weren't really sure we were going to be able to kick it. So why not go for it? And it worked out for him. So that was a fun game there in week one. I was impressed by the offensive numbers that Creston was able to put up in that game. You know, it's a Sheridan team, I think, that maybe would have been comparable a little bit to Atlantic last year. They were another 5-4 team. They brought back, you know, pieces of that team from last year. And, they did some nice things with Camden Peterson and then Kylan Smallwood, both in the passing game, doing some good things there for Creston. You know, that's going to be a key for Atlantic, obviously, is to keep track of guys like that. You know, that's one of the facets of the game where maybe Creston does match up a little bit. They've got a couple of those speed guys, but I think Atlantic has that on the other side to be able to do that. So it'll be interesting how that battle goes throughout the game. I think maybe more so than anything is, can Atlantic do what they did in week one up front? I thought they looked really good in week one as far as getting on somebody and occupying a body up front and making sure that there were running lanes. There were pretty good lanes, I thought, all night long for Atlantic against that Seidel squad. And that's going to be a key here this week. I think it's going to be tough. It's going to be a real close game. It's probably going to come down to a mistake or two that maybe makes the difference. But I will give a slight edge here to Atlantic as well at home. I think that helps being at home, having that crowd that's, you know, kind of fired up. You know, there's some new and freshness to the season, and it started well. So I think they'll carry that confidence into this game here this week. So going to be a battle, but I'll go with the Trojans. So that's Atlantic, a sweep across the board there in that one. All right, that's going to do it here for our picks here in week number two. We could have made some changes for Jim.
Pick some teams that weren't even on
the schedule.
He
just forfeits, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't show up in week two. You've won the last 3 years. I think that's kind of a forfeit.
He doesn't
forfeit
even have to
week.
Show up anymore because he wins all the time.
Yeah, he thinks he's better than us, isn't he?
That's no good. Well, we do have football coming up for you here very shortly. We're going to bring you that eight-man game, as we mentioned. Audubon at Fremont Mills. Mike Smith will be joining me here pregame shortly on our Dvorak Tire and Service pregame show, and then we'll get you kickoff at 7 o'clock. I want to thank the folks at Nishna Valley Credit Union and Ag Business Associates for their support of us here on Who's Gonna Win. That's going to do it for week number two here on KJN.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life? And then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.